Romans chapter 12. Again, the title this morning is Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Well, you may fall asleep later in the message, but at least you're smiling at the title, right? And it's not as long as the Wednesday thing. Poor Joey has to type out what those who know the Lord, okay? He goes, there's like 7-8 words in the title for Wednesday night, and he does have to do that every week as he puts those things in. And tonight it's just Invasion of the Body Snatchers, or this morning. In Romans chapter 12, a passage that if you're a believer in the Lord, you ought to have known. And because, I don't know about you, but I am warm in here, so I want you all to stand up, and we're going to read this together, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. If you're able to stand, please stand. If you can't, you can remain seated. The Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is telling the church in Rome this. He says in verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Please be seated. I'll make my prayer and we'll go into the message. Heavenly Father, Lord, I do come before you again this morning. And Father, these people need to hear from you, not from me. So I pray, Father, that the thoughts of my mind, the words of my mouth, the action of my hands and feet may glorify my Savior today. That you give me a fresh unction from on high and I speak clearly and succinctly. And Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit can have his will and his way in each and every heart here this morning. And again, if there's someone here without Christ, we pray today would be the day of salvation for them. But we pray, Father, for the believers this morning, because I'll be preaching primarily to the believers, Father, that they have an adversary of their soul that cannot take them to hell any longer, but he will try to steal and to rob them of the blessings that they can have in their life by serving the Most High God. We pray that you just bless this service and help us to come apart from the world before we fall apart. We pray that your Holy Spirit can have his will and his way in each and every heart. And we thank you now for what you're going to do because we've prayed in that name above every name, in the name of my great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Our opening text teaches us that if you're saved, God wants you to present your body a living sacrifice. Amen. This message kind of goes along with what I was teaching on the evidence of salvation in the Sunday school hour in the adult Sunday school class. And I want you to know, as I said, my message this morning is primarily for believers. It's for the saved. If you're saved this morning, can you say amen?
Amen.
It's for the redeemed. Are you redeemed this morning? Can you say amen?
Amen.
It's for the forgiven. Are you forgiven this morning? Can you say amen? It's for the child of God who live by faith. It's for the sheep of Christ's flock. It's for the citizens of heaven. If you're here this morning and you're without Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are none of those things. I don't care how religious you are, how much you believe you love God. If you do not know Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior, you are lost and undone without hope and without God in this world. And that's not me, that's God's words. There's only two conditions. You're either lost or you're found. You're either unsaved or you're saved. You're either born of the flesh and that's it. or you've been born again by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're a child of the devil, not a child of the King. That's Jesus' words. You're headed for a devil's hell. It was a place created for the devil and his angels. It wasn't created for mankind. But when people reject the free gift of salvation found only in the Lord Jesus Christ, they're condemned already. We're told that in John chapter 3. Condemned already. They're headed for a devil's hell. They're without hope. They're without God in this world. You are condemned. You do not need to stay there. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. One way. Not through the waters of baptism, although that is important in the believer's life. Not through religious affiliation. Not through good works. Right? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I say this in love, because the only hope for your soul is Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. If you're here and you don't know that if you were to die today, that heaven would be your home solely through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and you trusting Him alone to save your soul, all you have is the fleeting moments of this life. It's all you have. You're not in hell. People said, my life is a living hell. You have no idea. I would not wish hell on my worst adversary. I'm telling you, I wish, I know it can't happen, that Satan could repent, but he can't and he won't. Because hell in the lake of fire is a place of eternal torments. And God doesn't want you to go there. He made a way. Want to go to heaven? Trust Jesus Christ. Want to go to hell? Every other way will do. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Many ways lead to one place. There's only one way that leads to eternal life. Our text said that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. If you're here not saved, you can't present anything to God because you're not His. Come to Jesus Christ as your only hope of heaven. If you're not sure if you're saved, at the end of this service, we'll have an invitation. We'll not embarrass you. We'll have someone take you to a room, a man with men and boys and a woman with ladies and girls, and they'll show you from the Word of God how you can know that your sins are forgiven. You can know from God's word that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. You can know that you're forgiven. Religion is a hope so. Salvation is a know so. With that said, none of what I'm going to say this morning is going to be for the lost, primarily, but it's going to be for the believers. And to the believers, I want us to take time to see what I call, because, you know, we're going into Halloween and they're starting to have trunk parties. They're having these things. Kids are buying costumes. They're doing different things. They can't drive around Hannibal in the side streets. Some people, it always drives me up. I love Christmas lights, okay? If you don't like Christmas lights, I don't care. You can be not right with God. I don't care. I love Christmas lights. Okay? I don't love 10-foot skeletons. Or skeletal birds. Or skeletal dogs. Okay? My God is a God of the living and not of the dead. Now, people celebrate it. I'm not going to condemn them. If they don't know Christ, they condemn themselves. I don't have a dead Savior. I have a living Lord. Amen. He comes to take you from eternal death and bring you to eternal life. And if you're saved, that's what He's given you. And now as you're saved, you've been commanded to present your bodies. Because it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. That's written to believers in Christ. By the mercies of God, you present your bodies. An action you do, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is reasonable. And then it says, and be not conformed to this world. If you're saved, God knows it. Other people can doubt it because they're going to judge whether they look at your outward works. Because man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. And it says, be not conformed unto this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. See, you're trying to show out what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The believer, the submission of your spirit to God's spirit, this is what it's talking about. The submission of your soul to His will is seen through the actions of your body. God can see your spirit. He can know your soul. But people only see what you do and say. We can't read minds. Women are better at doing that than men. At least they believe so. But there's times when I look at my wife and I just go, tell me what you want. I don't know. Just tell me. Tell me what you want. She's, well, if you love me, you'd know. God loves me and He knows. Okay? But when it comes to human beings, you think you know. How many of you ever been fooled? You thought you knew something about somebody. Okay, you went by what was going on around them, and then you found out that wasn't the way it was. Okay, everything is naked unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Okay, nothing's hid from God. You can hide it from your brothers and sisters. You can hide it from your neighbors. You can hide it from your spouse. You can hide it from your children. You can hide it from your parents for a time. But we have a God who brings the hidden things to light. Amen. See, so your Christian life, believer, is going to be seen through the actions that you take. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed what you do and in truth. And so shall we assure our hearts before Him. Brethren, if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. If our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. See, you're either led of the Spirit or you're led of the flesh. Your flesh can be manipulated by the adversary of your soul. He cannot steal your spirit because it's born of God, born again. Your soul has been redeemed, bought back. You've been redeemed. You're on your way to heaven. Sometimes I think people are going kicking and screaming. He can't steal your soul from the glories of heaven. He can't rob you of the Holy Spirit that indwells you. But if He can get you to live according to the flesh, your body will not glorify God. Not glorify God. He endeavors to steal your body through lies and temptations and accusations and despair. And He uses the world to do so, believer. So let's see how. And the main body of this message starts, I want you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah 23. Verse 24 says, this is the omnipresence of God. Satan is not omnipresent. He's not omniscient. He doesn't know all things. But the God of heaven does. Verse 24, can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? That's the omnipresence of God. I have heard what the prophets said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed a dream. Gee, I wonder where a man back in the 60s got that from. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of deceit, of their what? Their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, and their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal, a false god. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets that say, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongue and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do not tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. They steal your body through lies. Verse 25 says, I have dreamed. Verse 26, it talks about prophets of deceit. They prophesy their heart, not God's. They cause God's people to forget God and God's word. They steal God's word from their heart. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart I have sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. They steal God's word. They cause error through lies in lightness. Lightness. Do you know that lies are used to deceive people more than anything else? And it's not this type of lie. Greatest shape of my life. I'm down to 150 pounds. You know that is a... That's easy. You know what the best type of lie is? It's 95 to 98 to 99% truth and 1% or 5% or 2% a lie. That's what grifters use to take advantage of people. Okay? That's what rodent poison is. It's mixed with stuff that's good for the rat and the mouse. It draws them to it. And it's good for their body, and it's only a little percentage poison. But the problem is, when they take it, the rodent still dies. That's the lie that gets you. The Bible says that Satan shall appear as an angel of light, and his ministers as ministers of righteousness. It sounds good. But if it doesn't match with God's word, not one passage taken out of context. Had a conversation with one of the leaders in this church, Brother Larry, and he's talking about, hey, Pastor, you ever heard of this? I go, what do you mean? And he's going, and he says, it's something, it's coming to me, it's been thrown at me a couple times. People saying that you're not baptized right if you weren't baptized only in the name of Jesus. And I said, that's not what Matthew 28, 19 through 21 tells me. That's like people argue and say, well, if you don't believe on Jesus and you only believe in Jesus, you're not saved. There's passages that say you believe in Jesus and talks about your salvation. There's passages that say you believe on Jesus and it talks about your salvation. So you know what? I'm not going to strain at that one. My Bible tells me that there's people who worship another Jesus, not the Jesus of the Bible. So maybe if you said you're baptized in the name of Jesus, maybe you weren't baptized in the name of the right one. Uh-huh. Stick that in your pipe and light it up. They'll try to get you to doubt what you have. Baptism, the water baptism doesn't save you. Trusting on the Lord Jesus Christ saves you. Amen. Trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ saves you. Amen. Repentance towards God and faith towards Jesus Christ. Okay, so they'll give you a lie. Every time the rat eats the poison, 98% filler or good food. That's why they make those candy bars so stinking tasty for me. My wife reminds me what my chiropractor says, and he says, "Now, Bryant, don't you know that sugar is the antichrist of food?" Oh, Cruz, leave me alone. My wife left. While she's been here, she's going to listen to this anyway, so I don't care. And if she didn't listen to it, I'm sure you would tell her. She always goes, "Do you know who called me?" Okay. My wife has cancer. We do not eat carbs. I eat what she eats almost all the time. She's carnivore with supplements and other things in that because carbs feed the sugar. They turn to glucose, feeds the cancer. So we don't eat that. So she left yesterday. I went and bought a sub, whole wheat bread. The vegetables were good. The bread makes me sneeze anyways. A bag of potato chips and a Pepsi. And I topped it off with an ice cream bar. She knew it was going to happen. And when I said goodnight, I called her last night. She says, "Honey, I'm in safe." She says, "Are you being good?" Made me think of my old Catholic days. "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned." Can't lie to her. Said, "I never could play poker. I can't, you know." She looks at me and she goes, "What'd you do now?" We used to do that with our kids. She can do that with them now, even as adults. She'll look at Michael and go, "What'd you do now? What do you mean, Mom?" She looks at me and goes, "Honey, what'd you do now?" They didn't hear poker faces either. You say, what I'm saying this for is because the world tries to get you to believe lies. Okay, I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I want you to know, I'll try to support what I'm saying with Scripture. All right, Scripture with Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 13. "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing that his ministers also be transformed into the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." So they steal the blessing that comes from obedience in the flesh, right? "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed," changed. I do not turn into a Camaro. Different transformation. "Transformed by the renewing of your minds, that ye may prove..." I can't use that because I haven't proved it. That's what it's talking about. It's by use. okay, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I could preach a message on a three-point outline because some things are good. They're not acceptable. Some things are acceptable, but they aren't the complete thing, are they? That good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I'm supposed to prove that. So what do? They lie to us, get us to believe a lie that sounds good. That almost is what the Scripture saith. Yea, hath God said. Who did that? Ye shall not eat of every tree. It's in the garden. Okay? Lies. And then they do it by lightness. Okay, my wife teases me, people in the church tease me. Kevin Thomas, I think, has bought me one or two flashlights so far. I always carry a flashlight. Nothing's worse than illustration. It only works half the time. I always carry two knives. One's in the other pocket. I carry other things. Okay? I just always do. There's two different flashlights, three flashlights in my car. There's three flashlights in my backpack when I go hunting because I'm afraid of the dark. Don't come up on me in the dark. I'll scream like a girl and either shoot you or do something else. And then go home and change my clothes. So I'm not talking about that type of light. You can tell my wife is gone. Maybe it's the carbs I ate. Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary defines lightness as this: the want of weight, inconsistency, unsteadiness, the quality of mind that disposes it to be influenced by trifling considerations, levity, wantonness, lewdness, unchastity, chastity, that purity of the body. People who make light of the wickedness of sin. This is the definition. People who make light of the cost of sin. They are more concerned with the desires of this life than with the preparation for service in eternity. He gets them through light, lies, and lightness. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. You still with me? Matthew 6. We sing a hymn that says, "Shall I go in empty-handed?" I'm telling you this morning, I don't want to stand at the judgment seat of Christ knowing the only thing I have is my eternal salvation. I want what? Crowns. I want gold, silver, precious stones. I don't want wood, hay, and stubble. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. It's part of the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, and it says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through in. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will be your also." Turn to Colossians chapter 3. It's not in my notes. Just came. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are" what? "Above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not things on the earth, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ." Do you see that? You still with me? "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye also shall appear with him in glory. mortify, put to death. Mortify. It means what, God's people? Put it to death. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, my body, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication. I will set no unclean thing before mine eyes. Well, pornography is a victimless crime. Men, no, it's not. If a man looketh upon a woman with lust in his heart, he hath committed, not my words, his words, adultery already. Uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is for which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now put ye, but ye also put off all these, anger. Well, you mean the believer is supposed to have a handle on his temper? Forgive me, Lord. Wrath, malice, that's wanting something bad for someone else. Blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, nor circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian or Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. You know what it says there? For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Mortify. Put it to death. Please. Don't make light of these things. Don't make light of it. Concupiscence. I'm not going to do this. I could ask somebody to stand up and give me the definition of concupiscence. I could do what I used to do all the time, and that's say, you don't know what the word means? Look it up. It means lust, irregular desire of sexual pleasure. Coveting carnal things. Irregular appetite for worldly good. Here's the truth. God will deal with the believer's sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body... Invasion of the body snatchers, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. If you're saved, he's in you. If you have not the Spirit of Christ, ye are none of his. I'm quoting Scripture. That your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not of your own. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God with your body. And in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Saying, don't you know this? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. That's not talking eternal destruction. That's talking temporal destruction. Aren't we told in Corinthians 11 when it talks about taking the Lord's table that if someone takes it unworthily, it says some are weak and some are sickly and some sleep because they're pretending they're right with God and they haven't taken the time to get right with God? You know how fast can you get right with God? I got saved out of church and said I need to do this penance and that penance and this penance and that penance. And then I have a God, the God of the Bible, in myself and the Scriptures tells me if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Written to a believer, not to a lost person. They can confess sin all day and still split hell wide open because they don't have Christ. My mom always knew my voice. I knew my mother's voice because she'd look at me and she'd go, honey, child, honey, hey, sweet baby, honey, child, you know I love you, but you do that again and you will not like what the Lord's going to force me to do to you. You know what I'm telling you? Don't believe the lies. God will deal with the believer's sin in this life because he's not dealing with it in heaven. Don't let Satan, the body snatcher, rob you by stealing your body from God's blessing. Where does the world see the blessing of God in your life? Here. You say, well, I don't have a lot of stuff they have. That's not the blessing that they need. They want to know why when you go through life's toils and troubles, you don't react like they do. That you can still have hope. That you can still understand there's forgiveness found in him. That you know that no matter what you face in this world, you have a better place prepared for you. That's what they need to see. That's the blessing that can't be taken from you, and that's what they'll see in the difference. People will come to Christ observing you, not when you're on the mountaintop, but when you're in the valley and how you come through. If you dwell on what the world shows you, it's going to be an Eeyore salvation. Oh, woe is me. I lost my tail again. Could you help me find it? Nothing goes right. I know God, but I don't think he loves me. I'm nuts. You know what the blessing of God is? The relationships in your life. Value those. Don't value the things. You're either going to love the things and lose the relationships, or you're going to love the relationships and not care about those things. Judy and I say all the time, honey, it'll burn. It'll burn. I have my Savior. I have the love of my life. I have the people God has brought into my life. I won't lose those. What is our hope or our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye at the appearing of Christ? There's joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. I rejoiced this past week with my son-in-law. They knew a mechanic working on their cars. Things weren't going right for the mechanic. His life has fallen apart. Good mechanic. He's Hispanic. Jake is Hispanic. And Heather's going, honey, you need to reach to him. And so Jake was listening to all his problems. And Jake called me and says, yeah, and he's telling me, and I'm praying with him. I'm trying to encourage him. And I said, Jake, is he saved? And he goes, Dad, I don't believe so. And I said, so you're trying to make him feel good, and if he died, he's going to go where? And he goes, I gotcha. I gotcha. Thanks, Dad. And I said, he needs to know about heaven. Because this world will eat you up, spit you out, and leave you. You can be lonely in a family full of people. Amen? Jesus says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I told my daughter what I said to my son-in-law, and she goes, Dad, well, Daddy needed that. He was feeling good about himself, ministering to someone else in what they're going through. And I love Jake. He has a heart for souls. He's just taken his eyes off the eternal. Set your affection on things above and not things here on this earth. And then I got a phone call. Heather was so excited, she couldn't wait for Jake to call me. Dad, Jake just come back. Enrico prayed to receive Christ as a Savior. Jake's going out to buy him a Bible right now. Half hour later, I get this phone call. Dad, I got to tell you. I said, you led Chico, Rico to the Lord. And he goes, who told you? And he goes, I want to tell you. Set your affections on things above, people. Don't believe the lies. Don't let the devil steal the blessings from your heart. When someone's going through it, how do you minister to them? If a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, tear them down. Make sure they know they're messed up. Is that what it says? Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, knowing ye yourselves what? Likewise can be tempted. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. You're saying, is this an end? You know I preach never-ending messages. Did you bring a lunch? Yeah, Pastor Legault is going to preach to the rapture. Well, it's better to preach to the rapture and then preach after the rapture. That means I missed something. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. The Corinthian church was one of the most carnal churches, saved people, not living right. Paul is telling them, the Holy Spirit is telling them through Paul, verse 1 of chapter 5, it is reported commonly that there is, what? Fornication among you, and such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. I don't need to delineate on that, do I? And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in the body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that has also done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together in my spirit, with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto what? For the destruction of his soul and spirit? No, they belong to God. For the destruction of the, that the spirit may be saved in the day of our Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaveneth the whole lump? He brought them under conviction. They judged the man's sin. He was churched. You know what you find in 2 Corinthians? He repents. And the Holy Spirit tells Paul to tell that church at Corinth, such fervor, such zeal. Now, as God has forgiven and restored him, you need to forgive and restore. The devil is a thief. Don't ever lose sight of that. John 10, verse 10, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and destroy. That's what he's here for. He wants to steal the blessings of God from your life. He wants to steal your testimony. He wants to kill your joy, and he wants to destroy you in the flesh. Jesus says that's what he's come for, but then he says, I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Husbands, love your wives as Christ so loved the church and gave himself. Men, are you the shepherd of your home as God would have you to be? You with me? Do you see it? Don't believe the lies. Don't make light of it. He said, I have come that they might have life and have it more. Turn to Romans 14 and verse 17. See, we're citizens of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is a literal physical kingdom promised to the Jews on this earth. The kingdom of God is for all those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 17. It says, for the kingdom of God is not what? Meat and? It's not physical. But it is what? Righteousness and peace and joy in the? So what does the thief want to steal from you, Christian? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. He will steal in your body your righteousness. It is Jesus Christ. Is Jesus Christ in your life? 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. When you got saved, Jesus Christ gave you his righteousness. He took your sin, he became sin, he bore it on the cross. God will never see you that way again. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now turn to Philippians chapter 3. Still with me? Philippians chapter 3, believer, the Apostle Paul says this, verse 8, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. The things you've lost, God says, you know what they are? They're nothing but. My wife says, I'm not supposed to say those words anymore. It's dung. Another word is it's awful. Literally, old English word for a pile of manure. Crap. German word. I won't say it. My wife hit me earlier because I said that. But count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found in him not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. See, look at me, because I do this and I do that, but I don't drink or smoke or chew or go with girls who do. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God, which is by faith, that I may know him. Remember I told you it's relationships? That I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. He doesn't live as if he has attained. He knows that it's secure for him, but he's living his life as he's going forward. And he says, brethren, I have not apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. God will, or the devil will steal your future by getting you to live in your past. If you've given it to God, he separates it from you as far as the east is from the west. He throws it in the depths of the sea and he throws it behind his back. He's not going to look at you through it. So quit looking at yourself that way. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are, present tense, become, imperative, new. They may know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. That if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained or were already perfect. You want to know if you're perfect? Ask your children. Not even your wife. Sometimes she'll lie to you because she doesn't want to have to deal with it. And men, you won't tell your wife. I follow after that I may apprehend that which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth to the things that are before, I press toward the mark of the what? 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30 says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Romans 1, 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live how? by faith. Ephesians 4:24, okay? On the mouth of two or three witnesses, let a matter of thing be established. And it says, "In that ye put on the new man, which is after God, created in righteousness and true holiness." Who's that? The new man. That's the life that the believer is to live in. He's to put to death the old man spiritually and live in the new man. Romans 13 and verse 14. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. You know what Satan will do? He will steal your walk of faith. He wants to take that from you. Make you live by sight, not by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Here's a thought for you. If you plan your way, if you walk by your own understanding, if you do it by your own desires, your relationships with Jesus Christ and those that He would have for you are being stolen. Being stolen. Because what is the Christian life? The kingdom of God? It's righteousness and it's peace. Peace is not the absence of troubling things in your life. Peace is the presence of God to go through them. My peace I leave unto you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. When I get my panties in a knot, my wife says, "Someone stealing your peace, sweetie?" You know, you say panties. Oh, no. That's because she'll say to me, "Suck it up and put on your big boy panties." Okay, that's my wife speaking to me. If your wife doesn't talk to you that way, grow up. Back in the 1900s, there was the World's Fair. It was in Chicago that year, and they were giving an award of $10,000 for the greatest picture given of peace. And there was pictures of a cabin along a lake with the sun shining through the trees and the heart in the water brooks, you know, and the conies in the rocks. A heart is what I go to shoot with, you know, it's a deer, okay? And it shows all these, this beautiful setting, okay? Maybe it's the holding of a baby. They didn't win. You know the one that won? It was a mother bird who had built her nest in a tree growing out the side of a waterfall torrent coming down. And the tree had come out, and out on the limbs of the tree she built her nest, and she was dropping food into the mouth of one of her babies with the torrent of the water going around her. At any moment, the water could have washed out the root systems, and what would have happened to the tree? What would have happened to the baby? Her chicks, what would have happened to her? It wasn't conditioned on her circumstances. It was conditioned on her relationship and her service. That's the peace Jesus gives you. You know what the devil wants to steal from you? Are you at peace this morning, my brethren and sisters? I always got to learn to say that. They say brothers in Christ or brethren. Okay, they don't say sisters in Christ are cisterns. Some of you aren't old enough to know what a cistern is. We used to have one in the basement of our house. They kept extra water into it, okay? A big old tank to hold more. Do not call your wife a cistern. I have a bad sense of humor. I can't do anything about that. Peace. John chapter 14, as I said, my peace I live with you, my peace I give unto you. Okay? Romans 5:1 tells us that we can have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's in salvation. We're told, believer, that if we want to maintain the peace of God in our lives, we got to quit worrying about this world. Right? Philippians 4, verse 6, 7, and 8. Be careful, don't be full of care. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. What's your prayer life like? Where's your peace? Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, the world doesn't get it, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, there be any praise, think on these things. You know what peace is stolen of? By the adversary of this world cause you to have stinking thinking. Right? It'll steal your peace. Romans 8, 6 says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I want to ask you, because we're getting close to an end, believe it or not. Are you letting the desires of the flesh steal your peace and keep you from the leading of the Holy Spirit? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Is your heart at peace this morning? If not, it can be. Come to the altar, give it to God, claim the promises, and let Him restore the peace. When your relationship with the one who loves you enough to keep you from everything for eternity is hindered because you're not looking at Him but looking at the world, you'll lose your peace. You know how you restore that peace? Quit looking around. Look at Him again. Amen? Last one is, because the kingdom of God is not eat or food and drink, or eat and drink. It is righteousness, peace. That's what the adversary wants to steal in your body. Joy in the Holy Ghost. If I dwell on things going around, sometimes I can go, Lord, take no thought for tomorrow, for you know not what evil a day may bring forth. Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. And you're going through it. Right? There is joy in heaven over what? One sinner that repenteth. You get discouraged? Start telling someone about Jesus. I got a question. See, men, you don't understand this. We've never had the pain that a woman goes through to give you your children. When you say, oh, I know what it's like, I'm nuts. You have no idea. Okay. They did a testing trying to show that, putting electrical shock through a man in comparison to what natural childbirth is like. And the men were weeping and crying and curled up like cockroaches. They couldn't handle it. Okay? God's given that woman the ability to do that. I can't imagine having a basketball come out of my body. Do you think she has joy through the vomiting, through, I'm trying to think with Heather, which was it, Keelan or Kent, who kicked her in the ribs and broke a rib? In uterus. Being able not to be able to hold their water. Having constant backaches. Having hyperemesis, huh? Not able to keep food down. But when that baby's born, the joy on the mother's face, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Christ, our life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrows will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. The Apostle Paul said he was burdened until he sees Christ formed in us. Joy in the Holy Ghost. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not ye at the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy in peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. When you lose your zeal for the things of Christ, you will lose your joy. It will be stolen. One of the saddest things I can hear a believer say to me is, well, I used to witness. I used to hand out tracts. I used to pray for opportunities. But life got in the way. Where's your joy this morning, believer? Please stand. The invasions of the body snatchers. Believer, what has been stolen from you? What has been stolen? You know, if it goes all at once, it's easy to see that it's gone. But you know what the adversary of our soul does? He steals it one moment, one relationship, one blessing at a time. Has God spoken to your heart this morning? What's been stolen from you? If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, the Bible says, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Don't let the devil steal eternity from you. Don't let him steal forgiveness from you. Don't let him steal what God's love has provided for you. Believer, don't let him steal your righteousness. As God has spoken to you, will you let your pride keep you from coming to the altar? Can you give it to God? He says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you, believer. He wants to restore the relationship. He will restore the joy. He will restore the peace. He will restore your righteousness. When you've let sin creep in and people are judging you by that, give it to God. And over a period of time with a tender heart, they won't remember all that because they'll see the change in you, in your body, as we talked about during the Sunday school hour. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and joy. It's peace. Is your heart at peace this morning with your loved ones? It can be. Learn to be able to go to them and say, I am sorry. I can't control what you've done to me, but I can control what I've done. And I ask you to forgive me and to help me to do right. Believer, the relationships that you have will mean so much more than the things that you think you possess. You can renew your walk by faith with Jesus Christ. Commit to quit walking by sight in this world and walk by faith. God speaks to your heart, you come. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word and pray that you, Lord, you dealt with me. As I prepared to preach this, that your Holy Spirit would have his will and his way in the hearts of the people here. If there's someone here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, their parents' faith, their mom and dad's faith can't save them. They've got to turn to you. If there's someone here without Christ, we pray today could be the day of salvation for them. Work in their hearts and help them not to leave this place. Father, I'll be standing in the back. If there's someone here that couldn't come forward, but they're not sure if heaven would be their home, help them to come and we'll show them quietly from the Word of God how they can be forgiven, how they can be saved for all eternity. Speak to hearts this morning. Use this message. And we'll thank you for all things in Jesus Christ. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.